relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome to America First with Sebastian Gorka and our special guest host, who thinks he can do a credible impersonation of my accent, the one and only Chris Stegall.
Thank you, Dr. G. I can't. I've got a little. I got to clear that up. Thank you, Doctor. I can't. I just don't have it. I don't have it. And when you got to be man enough to admit when you just don't have it. I don't have those pipes. I wish I did. Great to be with you today from Dr. G's Philadelphia affiliate. Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer. Yes, my name is Chris Stegall, and always an honor to get the call to come off the bench and fill in. He'll be back with you tomorrow. Meanwhile, the number remains the same, 888-33-GORKA, 888-334-6752. Come on in. I assume that you're like the rest of the country and you're not watching the January 6th show hearings. No one is, according to Sarah Arnold at Town Hall, our colleague. Ratings for the media's primetime January 6th commission hearing took a nosedive. No one really cares about watching it. And according to Cable News Watch, 4.5 million people watched the hearing last week. I don't know if Seb had these numbers or not. I suspect he probably did. NBC and CBS got roughly 3 million viewers between the two of them. So according to Cable News Watch, you're talking about 7.5 million people watched it in prime time. Now, when you consider that Fox, on average, generally gets at least a third of that or more on any given night, that's really poor. And these were supposed to be very specialized, very heavily produced for your entertainment value hearings that just didn't pan out. And so I thought, I mean, I have to be honest with you, I didn't pay much attention to them last week, and I really thought it was a one shot and that was it. No, they went on again into the new week. They started again today. And just by virtue of doing the morning show in Philadelphia, I have the cable news channels on. I monitor CNN and MSNBC and Fox. And Fox decided to jump in and carry these today. Now, they didn't carry them last week in primetime. They put it on Fox Business. But today, Fox News went wall-to-wall with it, just like CNN and MSNBC. You can make of that what you will. In fact, I would love to hear your thoughts as to why you think that might be, that Fox decided to change course and carry these live, while two other liberal networks, or at least what we thought to be the only two liberal networks, we're going to carry it wall to wall. You would have thought maybe a smart counter-programming strategy would be to not. They chose to do it. So if you have any thoughts on that, come on in and offer them up. I didn't, you know, to the extent that I watched them, I mostly read the transcripts of them. What was abundantly clear to me was they continued on into this new week all produced. Whoever it is they hired to come in and script this thing, they continued into the new week with this idea that they were all going to stay very specifically on a clock and on a script. And they wheeled in these giant teleprompters, and so these very kind of awkward, uncomfortable-looking people all decided that the best way forward in what is supposed to be a hearing about this great assault on democracy, something deeply serious, couldn't have looked more trivial and fake and ridiculous and absurd, because of course it is. It wasn't real. None of it was real. It was a total show. As you well understand and know, there's no opportunity for any rebuttal. President Trump nor anybody else could give any kind of counter argument or any kind of counter facts to what was being described there. And all of it was written out on a teleprompter, for heaven's sakes. They did not, and I'm not making this up, no member of Congress on that committee deviated even a minute or a second or a verb or an adjective or an and or a the. Not one deviation from this giant screen script. It couldn't have looked more ridiculous, insincere, and inauthentic, which, of course, all of these people are. I mean, when you're talking about Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney and Jamie Raskin and some of the, Schiff, I mean, really the most loathsome. It was the Star Wars bar of Congress. You know, as the great Rush Limbaugh used to say, Hollywood is show business for ugly people. And this is the ugliest of the ugly, assembled in one committee hearing. Nothing came of it. Nothing we don't understand about what they were trying to achieve was achieved today. And what they were trying to achieve today was basically the message, don't you dare try to run Donald Trump again. You are now on record. You're on notice. If you think you're going to run Donald Trump again, we're basically putting on what is tantamount to the third impeachment trial to really sell you on how rotten this guy is. And you'd better not, or we're going to make trouble. That was the threat. That was the promise of these hearings. Other than that, Democrats don't care one whit about what is real. And the fact is, I've seen the market bounce all more since they opened this morning and throughout the course of the day. It's fluctuated somewhere between 600 and 800 points down. You know, just anecdotally this morning, I went into the convenience store where I get my cup of coffee to start my day, and I always throw down $2 on the counter and walk out the door. I get in there pretty early. The clerk and I know one another by sight. He knows the drill. I get the cup of coffee. I walk out the door. The cup of coffee is $1.96. All right, and I throw the two bills down and I walk out. The clerk stops me today and he says, Chris, I'm sorry. And he's saying it like he's apologizing to me, like he feels almost, you can tell, he's sheepish about having to say this to me. He said, Chris, it's 2:18 now. He said, it's no big deal. I got you this time. I'll float you the 18 cents. But he said, it's 2:18. And I said, oh, you're kidding. When did that happen? He said, yeah, over the weekend. So it just, and again, it's anecdotal, but it's my cup of coffee. It's from $1.96 to $2.18 over the weekend. And that's just coffee. It cost me $150, and I know I'm getting off easy, depending on which part of the country you're listening to Dr. G's show today. I get off easy, but even at $150 for 30 gallons of gas in my truck, folks, I don't know about you. I don't know what your economic standing is, but I remember when I was a younger man, when I didn't have but two pennies to rub, a couple of nickels to rub together with my wife, who was a starting school teacher at the time. We were in a little apartment. $150 to fill up my tank with regularity, I couldn't have done it. That's the difference between paying a bill. And that's real. That's what's going on all across this country. People are making decisions about whether they're going to even go to work anymore. Is it worth spending the money to fill their tank? Can they afford to buy food if they spend that kind of money on gas? You have any investments whatsoever? You have any 401k or whatever tied to the market? Buckle up. You know, I was looking at, just for fun, I'm not a huge player in it or anything. I just throw a couple of bucks in it for fun. I was looking at cryptocurrency. You know, the Dogecoin stuff that Elon Musk and Mark Cuban kind of made famous. Ethereum, Bitcoin. I was looking at those prices. I don't know if you're into that at all, or maybe some of you are. Certainly younger people play in that space a lot. Do you know how I mean, that is a bloodbath. That's even worse. Bitcoin was up November of last year to something like $67,000 a share or something like that. It's down in the 20s now, $23,000. It's lost over $40,000 per share or per coin or whatever you want to call it. That's devastating, and there were a lot of people that made a lot of money in that space. That's why when you see the polls, the reality is Biden's numbers are tanking, and he's doing particularly poorly with young people. In fact, that's where he's doing the worst. I'll have some of that coming up for you in just a little bit. Democrats are oblivious to your struggles, your maybe lack of savings, and certainly your future. All they care about is minimizing political damage, which they know is coming. Democrats do not feel your pain. They inflict your pain. They don't care a whit about what's happening to you in this economy, in the real world. They just want to put on a show in the hopes they can staunch the bleeding that is undoubtedly coming this fall. My name's Chris Stigall, in for Sebastian Gorka today on America First.
Dear friends, you know my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing his My Slippers. For a limited time, you'll get $90 off a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last, so order now. They took over 2 years to develop. They're designed to wear indoor and out. I've already worn out my first pair of My Slippers, and they're made with the same amazing My Pillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue and lined with real suede. Call 800-829-8468. Use promo code Gorka for that massive discount, or just go to mypillow.com and click on the radio listener square and put in the secret code G-O-R-K-A. This offer won't last long. You won't regret it. They are the best slippers I have ever owned. And $90 off MyPillow.com. Do it today. Promo code G-O-R-K-A.
Can't handle the truth? Is reality just too much? There's always NPR.
I hear they have tote bags.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Great to be with you, Chris Stigall, in for Dr. G today. He'll be back tomorrow. Meanwhile, the number remains the same, 888-33-GORKA, 833-334-6752. Come on in if there's something on your mind today. Meanwhile, on my mind, and I always enjoy the opportunity to talk with him and get caught up, is probably one of the last great journalists there is. Genuinely interested in getting to the truth all the time, no matter where the truth may take him. He's John Solomon at Just the News. And, John, I'm so glad to have you today. Thanks for joining us on a Monday.
Great to be with you, Chris. A lot of fun.
I can't help but – well, first of all, are you putting yourself through watching these hearings?
It's painful, but you got to do it for the – you know, to sort out for the public with truth and fiction. But, oh, my gosh, they're just so over – over emotion and so devoid of fact. I mean, it's just remarkable. And listen, we've seen the show for 6 years. It started with Russia, went to Ukraine, and now it's J6. The same thing. Get Trump at all costs.
I've never seen this in my life since I've been following politics. Politicians are scripted people. I've never seen congressional hearings where everyone participating is literally reading a teleprompter. I'm not even sure what to make of that. How insincere.
It is. And listen, our entire system rests on the ability to have an adversarial system. Donald Trump can't have anyone defending him there. It's a kangaroo court. There are no Republicans, no one for the president to defend him, to provide contrary evidence. If this is supposed to be an American exercise, it's quintessentially un-American because there's no opportunity to defend the onslaught that the Democrats have. And listen, I know by the time this is all done, there's going to be major errors in the Democratic storyline. I'm already beginning to detect some of those. And how terrible it will be that the American public was subject to it without someone challenging those errors in real time.
one of the things right away from Thursday that was just undeniably true, and some people pointed it out, was they said themselves, even their kind of fake witnesses seemed to imply that they had knowledge of this event that was going to take place prior to it happening. They weren't shocked. They knew, and they didn't prep. And you've written extensively about all they knew well in advance.
Yeah, listen, by later this week, I hope to have documents to show that the first warnings, specific warnings of violence, of targeting lawmakers, of the Capitol tunnels being penetrated, actually was given to the Capitol Police in extensive detail on December 21st. That would be 2.5 weeks before the riots began. This is not a failure of rhetoric on January 6th. It is a failure of security and planning that occurred on Nancy Pelosi's watch. They had 2.5 weeks to prepare for this. They turned down the National Guard even as the intelligence was ramping up and pointing towards a likely episode of violence. Nancy Pelosi is the mayor of the Capitol. She has constructed these hearings to make sure her conduct faces no questioning. That's unfortunate because the Capitol Police did some major failure, committed major failures of security. They're sitting in plain open, and we could learn from them. We can make the Capitol more secure. We can make sure a January 6th event never occurs again. But that's not the goal of these hearings. The goal here is to dirty up Donald Trump.
And in fact, when she was asked last week about securing the Supreme Court and the justices therein, she again kind of sloughed that off. You'd think if we were all shell-shocked and terrified after January 6th, we would have learned something. And she dismissed that out of hand, too.
Yeah, listen, the December 21st warnings that I'm working on right now, I'm still trying to get all the paper so I can do a comprehensive story. But the Supreme Court was also mentioned as a target of violence on that day, as also going up to through January 6th.
Wow.
We're trying to find out, did they ever alert the Supreme Court? Did they ever tell them about that? We don't know the answer yet, but we're going to find out.
Now, I have to ask the other question. You're a journalist, so maybe you don't want to go editorial on me here, but one would conclude if you knew this kind of thing could happen and you didn't act. I've had some people say to me, well, Chris, it seems to me that sounds like maybe they were okay with some level of this happening. Possible?
Yeah. Well, you know, listen, there's always a possibility. You never say never until you've gotten through all the facts. I think what you see is a institution, the Capitol Police, and the security system, the Capitol Police Board, the Sergeant at Arms, working for Schumer and Pelosi. They were extraordinarily dysfunctional. One of the things that I wrote this morning is that going back to 2019, after Nancy Pelosi took over Congress as the speaker, her House Administration Committee, in fact, Zoe Lofgren, one of the lawmakers you see on the January 6th hearings, they held an extensive hearing in June or July of 2019, where basically all the witnesses came in and said, you know what, the Capitol Police is, well, dysfunctional. Even the new police chief, Sun, who got fired over this or left over this, said, you know, I don't have good control of my guys. I don't have good equipment. I think morale is bad. I have some grave concerns about intelligence sharing. Witness after witness came to that hearing and, quite frankly, issued warnings to Congress for weeks and months before that. 18 months passed after that hearing, not a single thing changed. The Capitol Police were just as dysfunctional on January 6th as they were foretold to be in the summer of 2019. That is a failure of leadership. And I did the same reporting literally 20 plus years ago after 9/11. Originally, we were told we were sucker punched on 9/11. My reporting at the Associated Press showed that the FBI and CIA had almost the entire plot in front of them. They didn't connect the dots. They didn't talk to each other. The exact same thing happened here on January 6th, and it's on Nancy Pelosi's watch that it happened.
And Miss Justice herself, Lady Liberty, Liz Cheney, how disgusting to kind of end today's hearings by saying, anybody object? Does anybody say? I mean, they take this kind of informal poll. Is there anybody that thinks this isn't the way it went down? And surprisingly, no one said anything, John, as though there's any opposition point of view in the room to be heard.
Stack the audience, get the answer you want. That's what Liz Cheney did there. Listen, I think Liz Cheney's going to wake up to tomorrow to some bad news. An allegation she made about a month ago alongside Benny Thompson is going to be categorically refuted in the next 24 hours. I've seen the documentation. Hope to break this in the morning when people tune in. But wow. Liz Cheney's record of accuracy will not be strong tomorrow morning. She signed off on one of these allegations. One of these red baiting sort of things that made people believe something had occurred that didn't. And now we're going to provide factual proof and written proof that the allegation they made just a month ago is categorically false.
I won't miss her. The conventional wisdom is she's going to be shellacked in a primary back in Wyoming, yes?
That's what the polling shows. She's down like about 30 points, which is a big gap. Even if Democrats were to cross over, there's not that many Democrats in Wyoming to help her with.
So long, Liz. It's been nice knowing you. John Solomon, it is always a pleasure, my friend, at Just the News. Read everything he writes because it's always breaking there first. Thanks, Thank you, my friend.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Welcome back to America First with me, Sebastian Gorka. You've heard it before. There are known unknowns and unknown unknowns. And then there's Chris DeGaal, Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer, and we're delighted to have him with us today.
Oh, thank you, Seb. Delighted to be here. Always thankful for the invitation. Always great to hear from you, too, at 833-33-GORKA, 833-33-GORKA. The woke crowd seized control of our schools, and now a minority of loud, woke voices are trying to take over our corporations. From Disney to American Express, more companies are taking positions on political issues they have no business taking, positions that align with woke activists, but nobody else. From discrimination on the hiring front to subversive woke ideas like ESG, woke ideology is taking over America's corporate boardrooms and HR departments, and that's why I'm happy to report that our friends at Job Creators Network are on the case. They're embarking on a major advertising and litigation effort to fight woke activism. They need your help funding it, though. Go to rockthewoke.com right now to do your part. Disney and others heard from woke America, and it's time now that they hear from the rest of us. That's most of us, by the way. Rockthewoke.com right now. Don't let the woke crowd do to our businesses what they did to our schools. Again, go to rockthewoke.com and help fund this fight. I am pleased to be joined by our friend Steve Moore. He is a FreedomWorks economic official. He is a former Trump White House economics official. I lean on him in Philadelphia every single week as our own economic official. Steve-O, every time we talk, it seems to be degrees worse. I would love to have better news for folks today. The Dow closes 875 down. I've got this story. I don't even know what it means. You're smarter than me. A U.S. two-year Treasury yields rose above 10-year borrowing costs, the so-called curve inversion that heralds economic recession. I'm hearing a lot about the R word now, Steve-O. What do you say about it?
Well, I mean, and unfortunately, I think we're really headed that way. And I wish I had good news for you, Chris, but I really don't. I mean, you know, you've seen a 900-point reduction in the Dow Jones today. We're now at about $11 trillion of wealth losses over the last 3 months under Biden. It's all a result of his war on American energy, his massive government spending plans, and his war on American business, frankly. It's a progressive socialist agenda that is killing our economy. If anything good has come out of this, and it's hard to see anything good come out of this, it's hopefully Americans are awakened, I won't use the word woke, are awakened to the negative effects of when you let the government and the politicians make the decisions for the economy. And what really disturbs me almost the most, Chris, is that there's no sense that Biden is changing his tune. In fact, if anything, The left socialist progressives are doubling down on their policies. Biden's still running around the country saying he wants to pass the big Build Back Better bill, which would add another $3 trillion to our debt.
Steve, how does, and I'm sincere in this question, I know you don't have a crystal ball and it's hard to know for sure, but I mean, what does this look like? Let's just assume, and we're all, at least I'm hopeful, I know I speak for Seb, he's hopeful, I assume you're hopeful, that Republicans take total control of Congress this fall. Economically, what does that mean? Does that stop anything, or are we still looking at a bleak future?
Well, obviously, you want to be able to have the president in full command of the economy in terms of the policy choices they make. And frankly, we don't have one right now. So I do think the Republicans are going to have a monster election in November. They will take the House by 50 seats. They'll very likely take the Senate, but you still have a Democratic president. Now, remember in 1994 when that happened, Bill Clinton gave an amazing speech, the State of the Union, saying the era of big government is over, and he moved to the middle, and we did some really productive things for the country. I don't see any inclination of that happening. With this is now the party of Elizabeth Warren and AOC and people like Amy Klobuchar and the squad, and they're running the show, Chris. I mean, I wonder if you agree with me on this, but they have a choke collar on the Democratic Party, and it prevents them from doing anything sensible on the economy.
I am struck. I've never seen an administration, and I've had political disagreements with many, as you have, but I've never seen an administration that seems to say, with every economic problem, there's nothing we can do. We're victims of it. We're powerless of it. Or on the other side of it will be a great transition. Just hang on for this bumpy ride. I've never heard anything like this.
Well, it's really pathetic, actually, because, a president is just like a CEO of a company or a general in an army takes responsibility. Right? Yeah. We have a general in the White House who is not, who's basically pointing his finger at everybody else. And so that's troubling as well. I'm really frustrated, Chris, because I honestly believe if Donald Trump were president today with his policies in place, we wouldn't be talking about a recession. We wouldn't be talking about a stock market collapse. We wouldn't be talking about 8.5% inflation. I truly believe we'd have a booming economy. And I love when Biden says, we don't want to go back to the MAGA policies. But why not? I mean, we have a secure border. We cut crime. We had, huge wage gains for American workers. We had no inflation. We didn't have any of these kinds of problems that have completely capsized the American economy. So what's so wrong with MAGA?
When do you see, Steve, this really hitting? There's this weird dynamic so far where there's still a lot of hiring. Do you think that is or will dry up?
Yeah, unfortunately, I do. Again, I hope I'm wrong. Maybe they have some kind of secret plan that I'm not aware of. But right now, it looks pretty bleak. And my advice to people, because there are jobs still out there now for the taking. And so if you're on the sidelines, I really recommend people get a job while they're still there. I think you could see this. Do you remember what happened in 2008 and 2009 during the financial panic? How
Yes.
quickly that tsunami hit? And it was like overnight the economy collapsed. I would be prepared for that. And look, I hope I'm wrong. I root for America. I want America to be number one. But it just doesn't feel good. You've got a record low in consumer confidence. You've got a record low in small business confidence. And you've got a record low in investor confidence right now. Only 2 out of 10 Americans, 20% of Americans, think the economy is going in the right direction.
What does that, and just briefly, Steve, I don't mean to be a doomsayer here, but what does collapse look like? I mean, what should we realistically be prepared for? What could be worst case scenario?
The unemployment rate starts to go up. You see business failures. I mean, we've all kind of lived through recessions. I've lived through 6 or 7 major recessions in my lifetime, and it's painful, look, I'm in this business. I've been here in Washington in the swamp for 35 years because I do believe policy matters. If you get the policies right, as Reagan did, as Trump did, you get great results. If you move towards a socialist direction, as Jimmy Carter did, and actually Ford and Carter and then Obama, we had no recovery to speak of under Obama. And now we come in and in fact, I didn't think that we'd have a less educated president with respect to the economy than Barack Obama. But my God, Biden's making Obama look like Ronald Reagan.
And Carter, we talked about this on my show in Philadelphia, Steve. You don't know that. I mean, this feels intentional, whereas Carter just seemed sort of buffoonish about the economy. True? Flat-footed or something.
I think what, let me say it a slightly different way. I think this is the triumph of an ideology,
yes,
an anti-free market capitalism ideology over basic common sense. I don't care if you're liberal, conservative, Republican, Democrat. None of this stuff makes any sense.
Brilliantly put, Steve Moore. Thank you, my friend. I'm Chris Stigall. This is America First. Have you noticed that? And that's why, of course, they also talk about wanting to get rid of the Electoral College. It's why they wanted to federalize our elections. Now, these Democrats who want to come together to get something done, they don't want to do it the old-fashioned way, make the case to the American people in the states. Because if they tried, they'd fail every time. My name's Chris Stigall, in for Sebastian Gorka. The number's 833-33-GORKA. This is America First.
With more journalism in his little finger than CNN has on its entire network, Sebastian Gorka.
Hey, Dr. G's back tomorrow. My name's Chris Stigall, in for Sebastian today. He wants to invite you on this extraordinary trip that he's about to take. This sounds fabulous, and now that all the COVID nonsense, the testing and the shot mandates have all been lifted, this is a big opportunity. It's going to be the highlight of your year, guaranteed. Israel, November 2022, a 10-day Stand with Israel tour trip. All the key sites and best places meant to give you an unprecedented view of a world you've only likely read or heard about previously. Together with Dr. G, you'll uncover key geographical insights as well as unpack Israel's significance on the world stage. And then you'll return home empowered, more so than ever before, with real context. So this is going to be a great experience. I hope you can be a part of it. If you dreamed of visiting Israel, this is your opportunity to visit it with a great group of people, undoubtedly listeners to America First, and Dr. G is your host. How cool. So this year's the year. More information, if you'd like to know, 855-565-5519 is the number, 855-565-5519. You can also just go directly to book it online at standwithisraeltour.com. All day long today, she has been in front, literally outside, in front of the Supreme Court, where it appears from the live shots that I've seen, the steel barriers are re-erected, and there's a lot of cable news ginning up the crowds in front of the Supreme Court building, waiting for this Roe decision and other decisions to come down. Most people, I guess conventional wisdom suggests this is coming down this week. The Daily Wire's Mary Margaret Olihan joins us. She has been covering this for the Daily Wire for quite a while. And yeah, spent the whole day there in front of the Supreme Court. Mary Margaret, it's great of you to take some time for us today. You're probably beat after being in front of the court all day. Thanks a lot for your time. Hi.
Hey, it's great to be here. And, you know, it was pretty hot this morning. I think it was in the 90s, which I wasn't expecting. And there's so many people down there gathered at the court. A lot of people tried to say that the decision was coming today, which I wasn't sure about that. And a lot of other people I talked to weren't sure either. But there was a lot of rumblings. You never knew. And so, you know, the opinions come out at 10 a.m. every 10 minutes. So we'd wait another 10 minutes, and then we'd be refreshing in the SCOTUS blog to see if that the Roe decision was coming down right then, and it wouldn't be it, and we'd wait another 10 minutes. So it was an interesting morning for sure.
How many, and by the way, she's on Twitter, Mary Marg, that's Mary, M-A-R-G, and then Olihan, O-L-O-H-A-N, Mary Marg Olihan. Look her up on Twitter and follow her, because she will have undoubtedly all the breaking news when this does come down. Do you anticipate it'll happen this week, Mary Margaret?
I don't anticipate it will happen this week, but you never know. We'll be ready, waiting for whenever it comes, but we do expect some more opinions on Wednesday, I believe. But it's likely that we will get it at the end of the month is what I'm hearing around town. So we'll be keeping an eye out for it until then, but most likely at the end of the month.
As always with these things, there's organic outrage and then there's manufactured outrage. And I have to say that when this draft opinion was leaked, this is just my observation. I don't. You can certainly contradict me if I'm wrong because I wasn't there. Maybe you were. To me, the protests and the quote-unquote outrage did not look nearly as vociferous and large and ominous as maybe you would have once thought. I mean, it just seemed kind of small and impish, and the people that were part of it seemed kind of organized and last minute. And I don't know, this just doesn't seem to have the same fire that it might have 25, 30 years ago. Am I reading that correctly or no?
Well, you know, every protest I've seen lately is a little bit different. When the Women's March helped organize a really big one a couple weeks ago, that was just a whole different vibe than we had seen in forever. You know, it was even more vulgar than the ones I had seen previously. There's a lot of, vulgarity, as I was saying before, and then expletives and a lot of references to genitalia and then just like tons of women across the National Mall. But the ones today that I saw and then the protest that took place right after the Dobbs opinion was leaked, that leaked draft from Justice Alito, the protest that took place the night after that leak was very, very angry, unlike any I had seen yet. It was very angry and just kind of bubbling over with anxiety because all these pro-abortion protesters are expecting Roe to be overturned. And I think it was always this kind of fear they had in the background, but they didn't think it would happen. And now it actually is happening. In terms of today, Shutdown BC organized these protests, and so their goal was to block traffic. So this protest was more spread out, and you might have seen like pockets of it in different places around the city. For example, they shut down one of the entrances to the court, and that was over behind the Supreme Court on, I guess, the left side near the Heritage Foundation, kind of. And so that was the point of the protest today. They wanted to block off different portions of the city and inconvenience traffic and make noise there, and I do think they were effective in that. But we also saw some of them in front of the Supreme Court shouting things, chanting, doing their typical abortion chants. We also had the pro-lifers on the other side of the court, separated by the police. So there's pro-abortion ones on the left, pro-life ones on the right. They're both chanting at the same time, so it gets a little chaotic.
Do you have a sense that these people, and I mean this earnestly, I don't know how many of them you've actually spoken to, but Mary Margaret, do you think these people genuinely believe in their heart and soul that abortion becomes illegal when the Supreme Court announces they're sending Roe back to the states? Do they not understand this?
I have talked to a lot of them, and I will say that a lot of them don't seem to have any understanding of what Roe means at all.
Uh-huh.
You talk to them about, you say, what will happen after Roe v. Wade if Roe v. Wade is overturned? And they say, women will die. That's their immediate response. They say, women will die. And then you say, well, okay, but in terms of, you know, the law or legislation, what happens if Roe v. Wade is overturned? They're not really interested in talking about that because that's not what the focus is on lately. I think the more well-versed ones will start talking about how women will have to travel really far to get abortions. But again, it's just, I think most of the talking points that they're being given by these pro-abortion groups and institutions is women will die if Roe v. Wade is overturned, and we'll be doing back alley abortions again, the whole hanger thing. And they're all getting their same talking points from the same organization. So it makes a lot of sense to me that this is how they'd be looking at it.
I defer to you because you're a woman, and I am not, despite what culture tells us I can be if I'd like to be. So I'm going to ask you this, and I mean this as delicately as I can put it, and I'm not a fan or an advocate when I ask it. Am I correct or incorrect that if a woman wants to terminate a pregnancy, there are a lot of ways to do it that don't involve coat hangers these days at a very early stage? I mean, I don't mean to be vulgar about it. I'm shocked at kind of how ill-informed or maybe they don't mean it, insincere, ill-informed or insincere or both these people are. There are many ways, legal ways, easy ways to terminate a pregnancy even after a Roe decision. True or false?
Well, one of the big things that people are focusing on, and abortion advocates are being kind of quiet about it right now, but what they will really lean into is abortion drugs.
Yes.
And I think it's something that pro-life advocates haven't really touched on so much in terms, I don't know how, you know, the how interested people have been thus far, but...
Yep. Mary Margaret, I'm sorry. I got to cut you off because you were doing great, and I ran long, but I appreciate your time at the Daily Wire.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.